time space, exploring how humans navigate cosmic existence. Penelope J. Caulfield's groundbreaking book, entitled Time Space, We Are All in It Together, presents a multidimensional framework for understanding how humans exist within the cosmic continuum of time and space. Caulfield agrees with the modern scientific consensus post-Einstein, where time is understood not as a separate dimension, but as being integrally yoked with space. Together, time and space form one dynamic system which shapes all of existence. But Caulfield argues that the continuum should properly be named time-space rather than space-time, because time is the dynamo and space is its physical manifestation. The book then explores how this great time-space continuum frames the entire cosmos, including all human existence and our collective journey through history. In her book, Caulfield argues that time possesses three interconnected dimensions that work in tandem: deep continuity, which provides a stable cosmic foundation; slow evolutionary momentum, enabling gradual change; and revolutionary turbulence, creating dramatic upheavals. These dimensions do not operate in isolation, but constantly interact to create the dynamic system that humans inhabit and experience. The book is organized in three sections that progressively deepen our understanding of what Caulfield calls time-space. Part 1, Walking on Earth, explores how humans are fundamentally rooted in time, examining processes of growing, learning, remembering, and forgetting. Caulfield demonstrates that all lives are intrinsically temporal, providing each person with a unique position in time-space that cannot be replicated or escaped. This temporal rootedness gives humans their sense of identity while simultaneously connecting them to all other beings who share this cosmic journey. Caulfield compellingly argues against Henry Ford's dismissive claim that history is bunk, illustrating how human knowledge is built upon foundations laid in the past. She shows that even Ford's own innovations, such as the motor car, depended on earlier inventions like the wheel, which dates back 5,000 years. The book emphasizes that our collective human story provides vital information for addressing current challenges, and knowing where we've come from is essential for navigating where we're going. Part 2, Scanning the Stars, investigates the physics of time-space, incorporating Einstein's relativity theory, which showed that time and space form an absolute continuum. Caulfield explains that the three temporal dimensions, continuity, evolution, and revolution, create the framework within which all cosmic events occur, from the steady unfolding of moments to sudden upheavals like supernovas or volcanic eruptions. The section also delves into quantum physics, revealing the seething subatomic world beneath the seemingly solid universe. The book's final section, Mapping the Journey, examines how humans track their collective story through time. Caulfield addresses challenges to accurate knowledge, including deceptions, fakes, and factoids, while highlighting the importance of shared memory markers such as names, dates, and monuments. She gives particular attention to the challenges of overcoming hatreds and warfare, examining how societies develop mechanisms for containing violence and establishing international laws, while also building cooperative networks that transcend national boundaries. This section culminates in Caulfield's vision for a global civics, which recognizes that our shared residence on planet Earth requires urgent collaborative action to address our biggest threats. Particularly significant is Caulfield's rejection of time denial philosophies. Some theorists have claimed that time is merely an illusion, but Caulfield demonstrates that this perspective contradicts both scientific evidence and practical experience, If time didn't exist in a continuous flow, humans couldn't perform sequential actions like speaking in complete sentences or listening to music. Indeed, if time were dissolved into separate, unconnected fragments, then human beings would be shattered into nothing but unconnected fragments too. The book culminates with reflections on how understanding time-space can help humanity address current global challenges. Caulfield argues that effective action on climate change requires both historical perspective and forward thinking, combined with global cooperation. Since all humans share one planetary home within the same time-space continuum, there are no escape hatches to other eras or to other planets. The only way forward is together, drawing on our collective understanding of the past to navigate a sustainable future. Time-space, we are all in it together, offers a fresh perspective on how humans can best live within the dynamic, multidimensional reality of time-space, a journey we all share, despite our different positions within it.
In this episode, we're joined by Dr. Penelope Caulfield. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Your book brings together perspectives from many disciplines, including physics, history, biology, and sociology. What challenges did you face in synthesizing such diverse fields of knowledge? And were there any unexpected connections that you discovered during your research?
You know, have to have a wide range of knowledge about all sorts of fields. But of course, we shouldn't get big-headed. So if we need help on any specialist area, I ask my colleagues for advice and help. And sometimes they can tell me, or sometimes they direct me to studies that I can read. Some specialist fields are written so technically, it's very hard for others to pick up, but there's usually a broad-based analysis available. So I like to become linked with lots and lots of different disciplines. And in particular, in terms of cooperation, I've really enjoyed debating with physicists and mathematicians.
Throughout the book, you often return to the concept of humans thinking long. Could you elaborate on the utility of this and how you believe this capacity distinguishes us from other species?
Not only interesting, very important question, because humans think long, and that is not just about the future, but from the past. We use evidence from the past to debate, assess, and forecast the future. Scientists too. For example, we know about the periodicity of Halley's comet from scientists, or before that, just other people logging diaries and records when it appeared into sight and then from Earth. And then gradually people pieced the evidence together to realize there was an orbit that brought it into view. It's very difficult in research terms to distinguish with other species what is instinctual behavior and what is sort of as the result of cerebration. But there's some evidence there. And very intriguingly, some of the latest research about some birds, ravens and crows in particular, this is disputed by other scientists, but some scientists are arguing they have the brain capacity, say, of a child of 7 to 10 years old. So they can sort of plan hoarding things here or there.
Really interesting. You mentioned the influence of family, friends and colleagues who debated time with you over many years. Could you share with us a particularly influential conversation or debate that shaped your thinking about temporality?
I have talked with umpteen people, friends and family and colleagues, about time, but almost always it's the effects of time, or time as expressed in songs or art or whatever. And it's very difficult to get people to think actually in the abstract about time itself. It's so big, so abstract, and so sort of universal. And that is, by the way, there are very few good jokes about time. Bet you can't think of one offhand. And most of the jokes about time are actually about clocks, you know, or something related to time. So anyway, I've had good debates. And in particular, I went to the Einstein Forum, which is in Potsdam, part of Greater Berlin, in 2008, just after my first book on this subject. And very good, they invited me. And we had a rattling good debate, which did influence my views. It didn't shake my core belief, but it made me realize I had to put it in careful terms when talking to physicists, because some words, you know, if I say time is a mighty force, in some ways that makes total sense to everybody, but force has a particular meaning to scientists, so you have to be very careful in your terminology.
Your writing incorporates references to music and popular songs about time. How important do you think artistic expressions are to our understanding of temporality compared to scientific or philosophical approaches?
Yeah, again, thought-provoking question, and the answer, it has to be all of them. I'm a ecumenicalist, so I do talk to philosophers and physicists, but I love to study artistic representation, and particularly I love finding and using songs about time. And in fact, I quote a number in my book, partly to help people, references to things that they will know, but also to realize how time immersed our whole culture is. And so, there's Mick Jagger, time, time, time is on our side. Yes, it is. And then there's a rival song that says, time is the enemy. And so I love the fact that there's all these different approaches.
You make a compelling case for global cooperation in addressing climate change. What historical examples give you hope that humanity can overcome its competitive tendencies to work together on this scale?
I mean, in general, there are examples from crises when people work together. So if you talk to people in Britain in World War II, there was a tremendous sense of unity. Now, everybody, I've talked to lots of people about it, everybody always mentioned this tremendous sense of unity. Everybody had to pull together. But there is a recent example of worldwide cooperation with reference to the hole in the ozone layer, which was revealed. Actually, it was a British scientist who discovered it first, but it took a bit of time for him to convince his fellow scientists. But then it came into sort of world consciousness in the 1990s. And there was a universal ban on these additives in aerosols and CFCs, they're called, in aerosols and other cooling devices. And the ban has been operating since the 1990s. And the hole in the ozone layer is slowly closing. It's at its smallest now that it's been for years and years. And it's predicted to close entirely by 2070.
The book touches on how digital technology is changing our relationship with time. Do you see any emerging technologies that might fundamentally alter how humans experience or conceptualize time-space in the future?
Short answer in experiencing time, no, because we're already steeped in, immersed in time, we're creatures of time, so that will just continue, as that's not going to go away. But as for how we think about time space, that is always possible. There will be changes. And what I would hope to see, I can't make any digital predictions because I'm not a techie, but what I would like to see is the technology emphasizing to humans more than it currently does of how earthbound we are. We're earthlings. This is our spot.
Given the interdisciplinary nature of your work, which audience or field do you hope will most engage with your ideas about time space, and what do you hope they might take away from your book?
And the first is, I want everyone to realize that we're all immersed in history and time, so that remarks like history is bunk, which was the famous remark from Henry Ford, which he later repented, but remarks like history is bunk are just meaningless. The history and knowledge that we have from the past, we're all living histories, living and immersed in time. So that's one sort of general message for everybody. Then I also want everyone, including physicists, I want to continue my debates with them, to think about time space, as I said, rather than space time. Time is not just an adjunct, it is the dynamo that fuels everything.
Thank you very much. This SciPod is a summary of the book Time Space, We're All in It Together by Penelope J. Caulfield, which was published in 2024.